Bob Jiffer is a partner in Sullivan & Cromwell's New York office with overall responsibility for the firm's litigation practice. He is a member of Sullivan & Cromwell's management committee and a co-editor, together with his partners Sergio Galvis and Werner Ahlers, of The Guide to Corporate Crisis Management, published by Latin Lawyer. In this podcast, Bob and Paul Holmes, the CEO of North American operations at the global communications firm Finsbury, update listeners on communication strategies and best practices for corporations responding to the COVID-19 pandemic.
So, Paul, how are you doing navigating the quarantine?
Surprisingly, Bob, it is not difficult to do what, not as difficult as I thought to do what we do from home. The biggest challenge, of course, is how to communicate effectively for our clients in a situation that in many ways is unprecedented. And I would say that our clients and we have sort of reached what somebody on my team today called a steady state.
I think it's been the same for Sullivan and Cromwell. You know, the first week or so, I think we were a little bit trying to get our feet on the ground, but now it's been extremely seamless and much better than I would have anticipated. And you know, our businesses are the types of businesses where folks really can interact, you know, remotely quite well. So I suspect that when this is over, probably the best things of the quarantine period will remain, and then we'll go back to sort of more of the better things that people did before, and a little bit more face-to-face and a little bit more travel, but maybe not quite as much. You know, when I look at this current situation in terms of our clients, it's different than matters that we've worked on together. You know, this is not the typical crisis where there's a long lead up to it and then suddenly the crisis happens. As you know, this is a situation where something came and overwhelmed, you know, essentially the world. And, you know, unlike, say, in even the Great Depression or in the financial crisis, where there was a lead up to it, it happened in a matter of weeks, where the economy went from full speed to stop. And then we sort of are starting to build our way out of it. But in terms of the issues that our clients are seeing, I think that in the typical crisis, you're sort of trying to deal with things that have happened in the past, whereas here it's much more of a real-time management issue because you have to sort of navigate through the situation. So from the standpoint of just a law firm or a communications firm, it's, you know, when do we go back to, you know, our offices, and what are the risks of doing that, right, under what circumstances? And then for a financial services company, it's how do you deal with the, all the various, you know, governmental programs and interact with your clients? So it's really the decisions that people are making in real time that will be the ones that, may get second guessed.
One of the things that we've seen at Finsbury, Bob, from a communications perspective, and we've done research into this, is that consumers and investors and other stakeholders want authenticity in the way that companies speak to them now, in a way that they didn't expect to the same extent before. I think everybody expected when the lockdowns began that things would be bumpy and that platforms through which to communicate would get some getting used to. But what they won't put up with now or in the future, I don't think, is a lack of authenticity and a lack of concern for employees and their families in companies. And really, you know, companies that have communicated their way forward best are the companies that have been genuine in their communications and have put the health and safety of their employee population front and center. And I think that's been a big feature of this crisis so far. Another thing I would say, and you referred to it, is that this is a pandemic and it is not a company-specific crisis. So you have entire sectors of the economy that are affected by this significantly and very often to the same degree. And the litigation risk that they face is sectoral rather than company specific in a lot of cases.
Plus, the issues that they're facing are issues that are not really arising because of anything that they did or didn't do. You know, right. In the lead up to the crisis, it's something that's happened. You know, the problem will be how they respond to the crisis. And so it's the communications, the legal strategy making that go on in real time that will affect whether you have a problem. So that, you know, if you have a customer, you know, how do you deal with your customers in this circumstance? You see some situations where customers are not being dealt with well, and then that creates a communications issue and potentially a legal issue. You have situations where there's a perception of folks trying to profit from the pandemic in some way, and then that becomes an issue. So it's a little bit different from, you know, again, something where crisis happens and you sort of have to dig your way out of it.
Yeah, and I think, look, what we're seeing as well is that there is, as you know, there is a surge of plaintiff lawyer-driven litigation that is emerging. But many of the plaintiffs in these putative class actions that are being pushed are customers and employees and audiences that companies need to keep on side. So that presents, I think, new and somewhat different challenges for companies in how they navigate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear what sort of, you know, litigation will arise out of this crisis. There will be litigation where, you know, companies try to get out of deals with other companies. There'll be situations where there's an attempt made to renegotiate a deal. There likely will be litigation involving insurance companies and whether exclusions and policies for pandemics should or should not be enforced. And then, you know, there obviously will be litigation about treatment of customers, treatment of employees.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, one thing we're seeing, and I think it's a noteworthy development, is that because this pandemic affects everyone and affects companies in certain sectors to similar extents, we're seeing companies communicate much more through trade associations than was the case in the past. If you look at the insurance industry, whereas, as you mentioned, Bob, there is, you know, significant litigation getting going around business interruption coverage. It's really the trade associations in that sector that have led the charge in defending the position of their members. And that, to some extent, shields companies, I think, from the sort of difficult communications challenges that they face in defending their position while also doing their best not to alienate or upset their customers. And I think that's true of many sectors. We're also seeing a significant uptick in legislative efforts at state level to legislate either for or against certain issues. For example, you know, the extent to which healthcare providers are potentially liable or not. And that presents even, you know, that means there's even more need, I think, than was the case previously for lawyers and communicators like us to also make sure that working group within a company that is tackling a crisis has a strong government relations presence at the table.
You know, Paul, in terms of, you know, some best practices for companies as we, you know, move through this unprecedented situation, I would think the most important one is to reach out to your advisors early if you see a situation that, you know, might end up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. I've always operated by the rule that if something is on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, then the plaintiff's lawyers and the government regulators will see it, and right. There will be inquiries started. So I think that's why it's so important that when companies are navigating these difficult issues or interacting with the government with respect to some of the CARES programs, that they need to be extremely mindful of how it will be communicated to the press, because then that will ultimately potentially generate the kinds of, you know, litigation matters that you and I have been working on through the years.
Yeah, no, I think that's right, Bob. And I think companies need to be doubly sure that their communications are consistent across the different audiences that they're speaking to. And I think they have to think extra hard, as we're advising them to, about how they will be perceived on the basis of what they say publicly. And that perception is going to be driven by much more in this situation than the matter at hand. It's going to be driven by how that company is perceived to be treating its employees, whether it's perceived to be going the extra mile to help its customers, and whether it's really speaking authentically and doing the right thing. And I think it is possible for companies to communicate without falling into to litigation traps that might affect its liability in the future. But to do that, as you say, it's really vital to bring its advisors around the table, the virtual table these days, sooner rather than later. All the research that we have done shows that consumers and audiences say that they will remember whether a company stepped up during this crisis, and they will favor the companies that did, and they will shun the companies that did not.
Thank you for listening to S&C Critical Insights. For Bob Jiffer and Paul Holmes' earlier episode, and for more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.solcrom.com.